Okay, I want to read a scripture this morning that I've spent a lot of time on this during this time of shutdown and so on, and it's really ministered to my own soul, so I hope you can just catch the flavour of some of it that is a blessing to me. Psalm 46 and verse 1, we'll read the whole psalm, it's only 11 verses. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he has made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, cutteth asunder the spear, he burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. The thought of the psalm is that God is the hope of his people. God is the hope of his people. And we can claim that today. One thing, when you're going to preach off a psalm, that one of the things that I do when I take a portion of scripture, let's say in the New Testament, I try and break it down into three sections. Well, you don't have to do that in a lot of the Psalms, particularly this one this morning. It's already divided into three parts for us. Verses 1 to 3, after verse 3, we have the word Selah. And then verse 4 to 7, after the 7th verse, we have the word Selah. And then verses 8 to 11, after verse 11, we have the word Selah. Now, this is a pause. These are pauses, and it breaks the psalm down into three sections. And the word Selah means pause and consider, stop and consider. And so what we can do this morning then with the psalm is we'll take it up in each of the sections, and then when we come to the end of verse 3, for example, the psalmist tells us by the word Selah to stop and consider what I've been saying. So just with that in mind, let's look at the first verse then. And the first verse is a promise to us. A promise. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. A refuge is a place of security. A place of security. And that's what God is to us. That's what God is to his people. A place of security. And not only are we secure there, but God gives us strength. God is a refuge and strength. A refuge and strength. That's what he is. And then thirdly, he's a very present help in trouble. When we're in trouble, when we're in difficulty, God is our help in trouble. But notice that he's a present help in trouble. Notice further, he's a very present help in trouble. And so that's the promise that God has given to us. God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, do we claim that? Do we claim that? Do we put trust in God in the promise that he has given to us? Well, just following up on that, I would like us to notice what the psalmist says then in verses 2 and 3. Because God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, therefore we will not fear. Because we'll trust in the promise of God and the God who promises. It's not only the promise of God, but it's the God of the promise that we can trust in. And when we take this to heart, yes, God is my refuge. I know that. God is my strength. God is a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear? And he doesn't stop there. He goes on. Though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, even though all these things should happen, I will not fear. I will not fear. The mountains come crashing down. An earthquake, a tsunami, the floods are lifted up. Tsunamis and earthquakes and all kinds of difficulty. Therefore, I will not fear. I will not fear. Because God is my refuge and my strength. And he's a very present help in trouble. And we come to our first Selah. We need to stop and consider what has been told to us. And it's very important, isn't it, that when God gives us a promise, he's a very present help in trouble, he's a refuge and strength. That's God's word. God is true, and his word is true. And therefore, we can take that and put our faith and trust in God, who gives that promise. And that's what we need to consider then for the first part of Psalm 46. Rest in God and believe the word that is spoken to us. And we're in difficult times now with this COVID. We're deprived and we're shut down and so on. And it's for those who live by themselves, it must be very lonely and so on. And we need to take the promise, that we need to minister the promise to one another as well. And just to get on the phone to someone, I was listening to a message last night and the importance of just giving people a phone call and say that you care for them through this time. And by the way, I've got a promise for you, that God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And so to bless others, probably can in a very simple and easy way, very important for us to do that. So that's the first part of the psalm. The second part, I love the change in the second part, where in the first part is speaking about the earth being removed and the mountains carried into the sea, the waters roaring and being troubled, the waters roaring. But when you come to verse 4, and in second section, he says, there is a river. You seem to come from violence and storm and tempest in the first part of the psalm. But in the second, you're in a peaceful environment now. And he says, there is a river the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He, God, uttered his voice, and the earth melted. And then listen to this. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is a refuge, Selah. And so pause and consider now what we have in the second section, that there is a river, and the streams from the river make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. And I think I could make an application to this in a New Testament application. There is a river that reminds me of the Holy Spirit of God, a river of refreshing and bounty. One Spirit, there is a river, one Spirit of God. And the blessings that come from the river, notice, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. What are the streams of the river? Speaking of the Spirit as a oneness, a unity. The streams are the blessings and the gifts which come from the Spirit. And if you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you read this, that there's one Spirit, but there are many gifts that come from the one Spirit. To one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another is given the word of knowledge and understanding. And he goes on and enumerates all the gifts. But they all come from the one Spirit of God. And it's just like here, the one river, the streams issue from the one river. And what happens in the psalm, in the picture, is that it makes glad the city of God, even the tabernacles of the Most High. And that should be like us. When we come together as an assembly, we should be blessed by the contributions of one another. There's blessing. The streams, the gifts of the Spirit make glad and rejoice the city of God. That should be our experience, beloved. And especially at a time of remembrance, we should come along prepared, exercised, to take part, to give God thanks. And these streams that flow from us, they become a blessing to the people of God. And then he goes on to say in verse 5, God is in the midst of her. And when we come together, we know that the Lord is in the midst. And that's the thing, that's the most important thing in our gatherings, to have a sense, a realization that God is with us. Remember the great text, the simplest form of assembly, Matthew 18 and 20, where two or three have gathered together in my name, the Lord says, there am I. Of them. So we can claim that promise today now in the second section here, that God is in the midst of her. She shall not be removed, and God shall help her. See that word help, the help of God in verse 5, it takes us back to verse 1. A very present help in trouble, God shall help her. Isaiah 41 and 10, I will help thee. Imagine that, God saying that to us, I will help thee. And we can claim those things. And they're only good to us when we can claim them. And then he goes on to say, the heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And he says, pause and consider. But before we do that, notice verse 7 and notice verse 11. They're both the same. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Pause and consider that. The Lord of hosts, he speaks about God in two different ways here. And I was blessed by this. He says, the Lord of hosts. And then he says, the God of Jacob. The Lord of hosts, that is the God who has all the hosts of the universe are his. And he is in control and he is over them all. The angels are a host. The stars are a host. The planets. All the things on the earth, all the hosts on the earth, they're all the Lord's. And the psalmist says, the Lord who controls all the hosts is with us. He's with us. He's our God. But he doesn't stop there. And I like this for my blessing. He goes on to say, number two in the verse, the God of Jacob is our refuge. And again, the word refuge, what was it? Takes us back to verse 1. God is our refuge, and the God of Jacob is our refuge. Now, what's the difference between these two things in verse 7 and verse 11? It's the God of hosts is the one who controls everything, the one who looks after everything. The God of Jacob is the one who looks after the individual, poor, cheating Jacob. God is the God of Jacob. And I'm glad that I can put my name in there and say that God is the God of Millard Thompson. God is a refuge. Can you put your name in there too? Let's do that today, that just to claim the promise is the thing that I see in the psalm. And so we'll move on now to the third section. The third section, and we'll read it in verse 8. He says, come behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he has made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. In verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge. And God is the triumph of his people in the third section. And this third section of the psalm takes us into prophetic things. It takes us away from our present situation, and it becomes a prophecy of what the Lord will do in the future. Predominantly, I believe, after the church is gone, when God takes up his people Israel again, this will be the program that will take place. Notice verse 8. Come behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he has made in the earth. And what is that? It's when the Lord will come in revelation, power and glory. When Israel are surrounded with armies, just ready to devour them up, God will cause desolation among the enemies of his people. And we can reference that in verses Revelation 19 and verse 20 at the great battle of Armageddon, that when all the nations around about Jerusalem. At that very time, the Lord Jesus Christ comes in flaming power and glory and destroys the beast and the Antichrist. In fact, he casts them into the lake of fire. And then that's what the Lord does. The Lord is a man of war, Exodus 15 says, and he makes desolations in the earth. But why does he do that? The Lord does that for the deliverance of his people Israel. And now notice verse 9. After the Lord has made all these desolations in the earth, notice what verse 9 says. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. Now, just let me stop there for a minute and say this, that this is not the present time when this happens. There's wars in the world. There's been wars for the last 2,000 years in the world. They just continue. But there's a day coming when the Lord appears for the deliverance of his earthly people, when he's taken them up again. It says at that time, he maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. And what he'll do, he'll set up a kingdom for 1,000 years of righteousness and peace. Notice three things that he says then in verse 9. He breaks the bow. He cutteth the spear in sunder, and he burns the chariot in the fire. All the weapons of war that are manufactured for the destruction of humankind, the Lord breaks them up and destroys them all, and they use them in Ezekiel 38 for fuel in the fire. And then the Lord sets up a kingdom of righteousness and peace. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth, and he destroys the weapons of war. And what should we do then? We should be like verse 10. Beautiful text. I love this text. Be still. Be still. Be peaceful. And know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And the Lord will be triumphed. The Lord will triumph, and he'll reign in Jerusalem for 1,000 years, which will then go on to the eternal state when God shall be all in all. Now, there's a couple of things that I want to mention here. I want to go back now after we see this. And I want to go back and consider verse 1 again. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, the words that I want us to think about in this text is a present help in trouble. What does that mean? Well, I could think of a lot of incidences in the scripture where it just looked like that the whole thing was lost. And one of the examples that I would give you on that is Exodus 14. Remember when Israel by a way, and they came to a place where there was a mountain on the left and a mountain on the right, and the Red Sea was before them. And Pharaoh knew where they were. And Pharaoh comes with his host behind them. So they're completely surrounded in a situation. They can't go to the right or to the left because of the mountains. They can't go ahead because of the Red Sea. And Pharaoh's right behind them. And it's just at that point, where we think all is lost. We should have died in Egypt, and don't bring this trouble upon us. The Lord says to Moses, stretch forth your rod. And you know what happened? The sea was divided. Israel went through. And after they were through, the Lord closed the Red Sea upon the Egyptians. What could you say in a situation like that? You could say this, that for his people, God was a very present help in time of trouble. Just when the trouble was at its maximum, God came in and gave the deliverance. And we need to wait. Put your faith in the promise of God and wait on God exercising his will to give the deliverance. Now, another illustration I saw of this was in Acts chapter 12. Remember the persecution that came on the church? It said that Herod at that time sought to vex a number of the church, and he killed James. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And when Herod saw that it pleased the Jews, he took Peter as well. He took Peter and he put him in prison. And he was going to bring him out the next day. And no doubt he would execute him, Peter, how he executed James. But you go in the prison that night. And what is Peter doing? Peter's sleeping. He's chained with two soldiers, and another two guarding the door. Peter knows that he's going to be going out the next day and he's going to be executed, and he's sound asleep. To his beloved, he gives sleep. And just that night, what happens? The angel of the Lord comes. The angel of the Lord comes and wakes Peter up, has to hit him on the side, wake him up, get your shoes on, your sandals, I'm going to take you out of the prison. The very night before his execution, he was delivered by the angel, and he went to the prayer meeting, and Rhoda answers the door, and she runs in with joy and tells the prayer meeting, Peter's at the door. And what does the prayer meeting say? They're praying for his deliverance. Oh, that can't be right. No, it can't be right. Just go back again. And Peter continued knocking. But the point that I'm getting from this, that just at the very night of Peter's execution, the Lord was a very present help in time of trouble, and Peter was delivered. So that's the psalm. There's a few minutes left, and there's just one thing that I could mention here, and it goes back to the third section of the psalm, that the prophetical program in the psalm here, that verse 8, come behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he has made in the earth. He makes wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaks the armories, and then he's exalted among the heathen. He's exalted in the earth. Now, one thing, when we read the Old Testament, and this is important, I've done a lot of study on this and meditation, and I want to share just the one idea on this, that when we read the Old Testament, and I hope we do read it, I hope we read the Old Testament, and the promises of Christ, that Christ would come, what we can do, is we can read a promise and we can say, yes, that's the promise. Behold, a virgin, for example, Isaiah 7:14, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. We read that, we could say, yeah, that's a promise that would be fulfilled at the first coming of Christ. And then, that's a promise that's fulfilled at the first coming of Christ. But a promise like this, in Psalm 46, that the Lord will make desolations in the earth, he'll make wars to cease, and he'll destroy all the weapons of war, and he'll be exalted among the nations. When we read that, we could say, and this is my point, we could say, well, that promise is a promise from the Lord, but it doesn't get fulfilled in the first coming of Christ. And therefore, it will be fulfilled in the second coming of Christ, like Revelation 19, when the Lord comes in power and glory. At his second coming, this is fulfilled. So, that's how we read the Old Testament. We can read it very intelligently because the events have happened. The first events happened and we participate in that. But the difficulty that Israel had at their time, that they read these scriptures and they said, in the light of Isaiah, in the light of Psalm 46, okay, when Messiah comes, he's going to destroy the enemies, he's going to burn the chariots in the fire, he's going to be exalted in the earth. Therefore, we'll wait for the Messiah to come and do these things for us, and Israel will be redeemed and restored. So when Jesus came, and the Jews saw him, we read in John 1 and 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. You know why? Because they took the suffering Messiah and they figured, well, we don't know who that is. But the glorified Messiah, we know when he comes, he's the one that will deliver us. And they saw gentle Jesus, meek and mild, and they took him to the cross and they crucified him. Why? Because they couldn't differentiate between the first coming and the second coming. But we can do that. We can do that because we believe in all the prophecies of the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we also believe that the second ones will be fulfilled. And those days are coming very soon. I want to close with this, beloved, that the coming of the Lord is very near. We see all these things happening in the world. I know people have been saying that all the time, but there's things that are happening now that have never happened before. And we need to be prepared. We need to be ready for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he'll come and translate his church into his Father's house. And then there'll be a prophetic program when Israel will be taken up again and Israel will evangelize the nations, and there'll be a glorious kingdom with Israel at the head, the Lord Jesus Christ reigning among his earthly people, and the nations of the world will be blessed. And that's a big, big subject, hundreds of references for it. And so we'll just close there, and I appreciate the time today in sharing these scriptures. And I hope they're a blessing for us, that we can say, in this time, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I'll just close now with the prayer. Our Father, we thank thee for the reading of thy word today, for this beautiful psalm, "Be still and know that I am God." So bless the church in faith. We just commit them to thyself. And for the time that we've spent together today, we give thanks now for thy goodness to us, in the Saviour's worthy and precious name. Amen and amen.